For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. Tom Nugent with the crown topic of the day. And, of course, it is the Yankees falling to the Dodgers yet again. They are now in an 0-3 deficit in the World Series, but it isn't over yet, BT. Game four tonight, and I really do truly believe, I don't think the Yankees are going to win this World Series. I never thought they were prior to the series, although I was more encouraged after the first two, but I really don't think that it's over. Like, I get the feel of, hey, you're down 0-3, you're going to get swept. There, to me, still is a path for the Yankees to at least make this a series, starting with a bullpen game tonight versus the Dodgers. Bottom line is, Yankees have to hit. If they can't score, specifically at home, then obviously, yeah, it will be a sweep.
I'm going to unpack a sweep a lot differently than I'm going to, you know, handle losing in five. Like, I think if the Yankees were to get swept tonight, it's a different range of emotions. You're embarrassed. You're really pissed off. Now, you can still understand they could win tonight and lose maybe a tight one, game five, whatever, even if they got whacked in game five. But you got to squeeze out a win. This is the Yankees. This is the World Series. And it's just not good enough. Now, I do think the Dodgers are better, and I think that they're more well-rounded, more dynamic.
Yeah.
I think they catch the baseball better. And
they run the bases better. Like, they're just a better team.
They run the bases better. Sure, they're a better team. I do agree with that.
The starters have been better than people thought. I mean.
Yeah. Now, I just can't not allow my brain to, it doesn't do anything for tonight, but go back to game one when Gerrit Cole was pulled 88 and all the domino effects that later transpired that I believe conspired to a Yankees brutal loss. But, you know, it shouldn't be that devastating where you didn't recover in game two or you didn't recover in game three. Like, that just tells me, you know, what my eyes have told me most of the season anyway. The Yankees were a very imperfect team that have given us a very fun season, feasted on a weaker league, the American League, over the National League. But the one thing that I did think was different about this Yankee team from previous iterations that did not go this far, not that they were a lot better constructed. I thought it was more of a refined, more of a better-built roster slightly than the last couple. And I did think it would perform better. And I'm surprised that, and I don't mean a ton better, because there's still problems on this team. But what they've done so far has been fairly inept offensively, and it's brutal to watch.
Yeah, and this has been the same Yankee team, kind of to your point, and this is why I never believed in them in the course of the regular season or even the postseason, figuring at some point they're going to get caught, because they just weren't a very good team. I mean, look at their record from June on. Even with Judge and Soto going nuts, they still were a team that was just right around 500. Then they get in the postseason, they still do the same things. The bad base running, you saw that last night, they didn't get it thrown at home. The bad defense.
He's against the Royals. Yeah. Remember Grisham Jazz at second? They've been making blunders. Trevino got picked off in the Guardian series at first.
All year long, on in through the postseason, whether it's bad base running, whether it's sloppy defense, whether it's untimely hitting, and they've made it this far because they've been good enough, or the other teams haven't been good enough to take advantage of their mistakes. They've been good enough to overcome it. Now they've met their match in a team that's far superior. We said this going in, far superior than anything they faced in the American League all year long. And now the Dodgers are up 3-0. But even with that being said, I still don't feel like the disparity is as great as 3-0 would indicate. The Yankees very easily could have won game one, and this is a totally different story. Now they didn't, and it is what it is. But the Yankees are still, if they could just hit, like, they, even with the other things, the other miscues, even with that, if they could just hit, either they have to clean those things up, which is not going to happen because they haven't done it all year long, or hit, which they have done at times.
Yeah,
and if they hit,
sure.
if Judge gets going, different series.
It's a big if. I still, yeah, it just doesn't look right. I mean, listen, if let's say the Yankees lose tonight and it's a tight game. Not that they would hang a banner, you know, for losing the World Series anyway, but there's no banners that are hung where it says, hey, we got swept in a World Series, but we kept it competitively. The aggregate score was minus six. You know, you lose or you lose. Let me ask you.
We lost by a little.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if the Yankees, if the Mets were in the World Series this year and they got swept, like, wouldn't that bother you more? Like, I know you either win or you lose, and there's no points for losing.
I was going to save this, but since you brought it up, I might as well. Would you rather make the World Series and get swept?
I'd rather make the World Series every single time.
Even getting swept?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because you know what? This isn't the main thing, but it is a nice little fringe benefit. I no longer have to hear from you. And
the
Mets are the last team to make the World Series. So I'll take those little checkpoints where I could get them.
But you know what I could say?
What?
The Mets were the last team to win a World Series game.
Well, there's always a game that we could play, and I'm sure we will both look for our little things where we can. I got you. But listen, the World Series is so elusive, and even though you know they haven't won yet, I've had three games where I've watched the World Series with my family. Tonight I'm taking my 9-year-old son to the game. You don't want to get broomed, and you don't want to ever lose the World Series, but if they were to lose tonight, it's going to suck walking out, but I'd rather be in the World Series every single time than not get there or get there and get swept.
Yeah, and I will say that even as an innocent bystander in this World Series, as most World Series, but I haven't cared this much about a World Series in years, probably since the Mets in 2015, maybe the Cubs, then Indians in 2016, just because of the history with the Cubs, but I've been locked in every pitch, and I love it.
Yeah.
It brings back, it makes me remember why I love baseball at the highest level.
We talked about this 2 weeks ago.
Right. It's unfortunate that the Yankees, as of now, haven't made it more of a series, but still, the games, I do love it. And I guess you're right, you'd rather be in the World Series, but getting swept is a losing in five, whatever it happens.
So it would bother you more if the Mets got swept in the World Series. It's just not a good look. Well, there's no way around it. You get swept, it's a bad look, Sal.
The main thing from a Mets perspective specific to this year was I didn't want to face the Yankees and lose. Now, if it were anybody else, like, what's the difference getting swept, losing in five? Like, the Mets, you lost in five to the Yankees, lost in five to the Royals in 2015. You lose in five, it's just almost as embarrassing as it is getting swept. But for the Yankees, it's a little different because they're held to the high standard, because it's been so long since they've been back, because it's the Yankees, Dodgers, the two marquee teams, the Yankee fans last week, their arrogance, BT, every single fan calling is the Yankees' year, Yankees going to win, Yankees going to beat them. To me, it was not even just, like, you could have belief in your team, but it was also not acknowledging the reality that the Dodgers are far better. And, like, there should have at least been a, hey, I'm glad we're here, but this is going to be tough. And I didn't get that from the large majority of the Yankee fans who at times have been arrogant. And now to be down 0-3 and potentially getting swept, that's where it could hurt a little more.
There's also the reality. And, you know, Yankee fans, I'm not that you need to really process this tonight during the game, but understand this on some level, you know, now or before the game or whatever, there is a really good chance that Aaron Judge has already had his best regular season, that Gerrit Cole has already had his best regular season, and that Juan Soto, if they lose tonight, is playing his final game in the Bronx. Now, I think he's staying, but I don't know that for sure. Nobody does. So, you know, does Aaron Judge ever have another season like this? Now, 322, 59 bombs, 140-something ribbies, whatever he did. Now, the answer might be no. And he might next year, just to push it forward, hit 44 home runs, but actually hit in October. So you would take that. Understood. But Judge and Cole are in their prime, and they're not going to be here forever. They're not 27. They're early 30s. And Judge is a big boy, and there's not a lot of evidence. Dave Winfield, that's pretty much it, where guys played at that height for a long time and prospered, and then about Soto. So, you know, there's to think that this is going to be, you know, book it next year, the Yankees will be back. I like to think that, but I'm smart enough to know that that's not necessarily the case.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Dave is in Smithtown. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys, before I get to my point, BT, I called the other day suggesting a date game, and you asked me if I had kids, and I had already hung up. Oh, I don't have children, but I understood your point.
Okay.
Just to clear that up.
I got you. I get it. Yeah. And by the way, I do, when I'm taking one tonight, I'll be home at 2 in the morning. Good luck in school tomorrow, teachers.
Yeah. But listen, guys, I'll be honest. I'm a Met guy. I have no rooting interest in the series. But, I mean, the Mets left a lot of bases, men on base with the Dodgers, too. So, obviously, the Dodgers are a great team. But let me say this, and I know you're going to kill me for saying it. You might not agree with me. You might think it's not going to happen, but it has to be brought up. Remember what happened 20 years ago, and I'll leave it at that.
And talking about with the Red Sox?
Yeah,
sure.
I just had to bring it up. It might not happen. I just wanted to bring it up.
Yeah, well, I think that, thank you for the call. Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, I have to apologize for it. The Yankees authored the absolute greatest collapse in the history of baseball to their most hated foe. I mean, that actually happened. The difference, though, those Red Sox, they had a different grit than this Yankee team.
Yeah, I think the Dodgers are better than the Yankees were then, and I think the Red Sox were better than the Yankees are now.
I think I agree with half the equation right away.
What, the Red Sox part of it?
The Red Sox in 04
were definitely better than the Yankees.
The Red Sox were good. Red Sox, are these Dodgers definitely better than those Yankees? I mean, you look back, and obviously, you know, you had Prime A-Rod. Jeter was still around. I mean, Mariano. I don't know if I can say. It's close. It's close. But, you know, I think that this Yankee team has character. I think they've got some great players. I don't think they have a good enough lineup, and I don't think that they have the grit that those great Yankee teams and that Red Sox team had as well.
Andy is calling from Milford. What's up, Andy?
Hey, Sal. It's your Falcon buddy from Milford. How you doing?
Good, Andy. How are you?
Good. All right. What the Yankees are missing, what we're missing in keeping Soto are connected. First, the first thing we're missing is I'm on the freeway and just passed a pink caddy. That's the first thing we're missing. Seriously, though, we've been out-coached this entire series, from the manager to the pitching staff to the third base coach running. We've got to fire the entire Yankee staff. Boone's not yet. Rojas, Boone's not doing it. So you tell Soto, you know, I'm Hal. I'm coming down and telling Soto, we're firing the whole coaching staff. You pick the manager, you stay.
Oh, my stop. God.
Get out
come
of here.
On,
such
Andy.
A weird, what a loser fought.
No, Andy, come on.
Stop.
Come on. Why not? You're judge, you got the captain, and then you Soto, you stay, and we'll play, pick the guy that you want. And we'll talk about it, but let him have a say.
Andy, who do you think more? Well, I mean, it's pathetic that you would even let a player have that much say, but who do you think's more reason to blame the Yanks are down 0-3? Aaron Boone or Aaron Judge?
I'm 100% agree with you. Accountability is on the players. But I'm saying, you look at like sports, so everybody's, you know, all these players are doing it, naming their managers, naming their coaches. Give them a say to keep them, because I think that core, like you guys are saying, is what's going to have the accountability for the rest of these players moving forward. That's what you need to keep together
I don't, and thanks for the call, Andy. I don't think it's about accountability with this Yankee team. And by the way, if it is, then they do need somebody different to be their manager. But I don't think that that's what they want. I mean, this is by design. They want a guy like Aaron Boone to where maybe behind closed doors he holds them somewhat accountable,
yep,
but also trust them to be big boys and adults and go out there and play the game the way that it's expected to be played. Now, we see it. It doesn't happen often, but that to me is on the players or more the organization. It's not on Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone's doing his job, and I think he's doing his job pretty well. Do I love him as an in-game manager? No, but he's doing what he's basically being told to do.
All right, so there's a couple things there. Who's had more influence on the series so far negatively?
Well, all right, biggest reason why they're down 0-3.
That's how we framed it, right?
Judge.
Well, okay, so I'm always going to say the player who's not performing. However, I'm going to also answer it this way. So far, Aaron Judge is an F this series, and in my opinion, so far, Aaron Boone is an F this series.
Wow, F?
Now, the players got to feel
what,
more heat.
Just game one, or you think multiple?
I would have played Austin Wells last night.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have pinch run for Gleyber Torres and put Cabrera out of position. Like, there's other things that I would have. And I said that after both games. Mm-hmm. But again, Judge is the superstar with the massive contract who's done nothing. So he's going to get more heat. But if I was good, and he should, if I'm giving them both grades, both have failed miserably this series. Now, the word accountability, it always creeps in with Boone, because, and I can't prove this, though I strongly believe that if it was Torrey or Billy or any other like great Yankee, Matt Buck, Do you think Gleyber Torres half-assing after that bowl the other night in Dodger Stadium where he didn't keep it in front?
Remember, though.
Think about that.
Yes,
and understood. That's a Boone thing. That's an accountability thing. But, he let him do that.
But is it Boone?
He was 24 years old.
Is it Boone or is it the Yankee organization?
Well,
because remember, do you think Joe Girardi would have held him accountable?
Yes.
Okay, me too. And they fired Joe Girardi.
Yeah.
Because of him being too hard on Gary Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want Joe Girardi. They wanted the opposite. And they got it. It's not a knock on Boone, but that's what they wanted. So Boone's trying his best to get Gleyber to get it, and it just doesn't work. Gleyber's never going to get it. He does need, like, Gleyber just, he's manic. I can't even stand the sight of him, honestly. Even though he's
Gleyber?
Even though he's been good offensively, it's infuriating to watch him play baseball. Like, there's just no excuse for that play to happen at second base
in
game one.
I know.
Which arguably cost them more than anything else. People focused on Boone or Cortez or Judge. If Gleyber just simply, dude, he didn't even have to make a play.
I know.
Like, you didn't
just
even have to do
it in front.
You didn't even have to make a play. That's like, it's not a play. All you had to do was play catch properly.
Yeah, he didn't have to catch and spin on a dime and throw to somebody to get a tag out. Like, just keep the ball in front of you.
La-dee-daw, just his aloofness.
And then the way he ran after it, too. Now, listen.
He's got his head up his rear end. He's a good kid.
He does. He's got a good heart. I think he's a good person. I think he wants it. Susan's told us that. But you know what? We all want it. Well, if you really want it, keep the ball in front. You know, game one of the World Series, keep it in front. And I did not exonerate Anthony Rizzo. Rizzo got to be in position. That's the problem. I played first base. You got a trail.
Right.
I mean, I was taught that when I was 11. Anyway.
It shouldn't have got to that, but you're right. That is another layer of it.
He was a lollygagger.
Somebody had to be there to back it up.
I thought he should have caught the pop-up last night. I said that's not an easy play. Make the catch.
Yeah.
Make the catch in foul territory. The Yankees have not played well at all. The manager's been bad. Their superstar has been an absolute disaster. And it's here we are, down 3-0. Having said that, Yanks win tonight.
Let's do a little pinstripe preview here. Travel plans don't always go as expected. Protect your journeys with a travel insurance plan from TravelGuard.com. One thing that I will say about the Yankees, and I don't know where this narrative is coming from. I've heard it a couple times, whether it be on the radio or whether it be on some of the broadcasts here. Where is the narrative that the Yankees have been resilient all year long coming from? Would you say that this has been a resilient group, that they could take a gut punch? Like, I have not seen that. When have the Yankees bounced back from something and been resilient? What adversity have the Yankees been dealt all year long? Like, I'm just not seeing that.
Okay.
And I feel like that's been a narrative.
I do think you're overlooking some things then.
Yes. All right,
Okay, so how did the season start?
Gary Cole injury.
First three seasons out.
Yeah. First three months.
Three seasons.
Yeah, thank you.
First 3 months.
Right.
That could catch. So, yeah. I mean, that's... They won the Cy Young the year before. It's tough. Who was next to go down? That was Clark Schmidt, who probably would have been an all-star.
His numbers were
good.
But we're going to say every team that has an injury is resilient?
Like, no. But no, not if it's only one or two, but I'm not done.
Right, okay.
How much time did Giancarlo Stanton miss?
Yeah.
A lot.
But again, I don't think that...
How much time did Anthony Rizzo miss? A lot.
Right, but overcoming injuries is different than dealing with adversity or being resilient.
True, there's more. How many teams, I'm not saying there's none, but how many teams have to, with about a month to go in the season, have to look at their bullpen and say, all right, we got to overhaul this, where our closer is no longer our closer. Yankees did that. So you mix in the Gerrit Cole stuff, the Clark Schmidt stuff, the Stanton stuff, the Rizzo stuff, the Holmes meltdown, and then kind of recalibration of the bullpen. Not that it really mattered a ton, but Trevino missed a ton of time. Like, they had a lot of injuries this year, the Yankees. A lot.
Yeah, injuries, yes, but I think a lot of teams have had a lot of injuries. I know. I look at resiliency
Dominguez got hurt. He missed 3 months when he pulled his muscle.
So then maybe the way to word it is they've overcome injuries. But
part of being resilient, to still get to 94 wins and have home field advantage in the American League.
I look at it a little differently. Like, I look at the Mets 0-5 start. I look at the Mets being 11 games under.
Yeah.
That, to me, is showing resiliency. Not to mention, by the way, the injuries. Like, yeah, the Yankees lost their ace for a couple of months. The Mets lost their ace all year long. The Mets lost their best bullpen arms and still managed to overcome all that. So that, and I'm not trying to compare the two. I'm just saying, like, when resiliency is used to describe the 2024 Mets, I think it fits. Down to the Monday game one doubleheader against Atlanta, blowing a lead, coming back, Lindor with the big home run, resiliency. Down in game three, season on the line, Alonso, big three run homer, resiliency. When have the Yankees been facing anything like 11 games under, 0-5 start, season on the line as far as the play? Like, they haven't had that.
It's been kind of a cakewalk. Listen, it's different, and there's different forms of resilience.
Yeah, I should say.
I mean, but when they went down to Baltimore and lost 3 out of 4, I heard a lot of people saying, Orioles still better. And I wasn't even sure. I'm like, maybe
that
they
was
are.
Early
I mean,
in the season.
That didn't look good. They won one game. That was Luis Gil, 1-2-0. Listen, I also think, and not a Yankee Met thing, but I do think that this applies always, or at least until it changes. Like, the Mets' accomplishments, while and this was a really good year, don't get me wrong, but the Mets' accomplishments are, there's always a little overhype because there's just not many of them. And the Yankees' accomplishments, and I remember saying this a while ago, are always minimized or marginalized a bit because there's so many of them that you expect it. Now, is that directly attributable to this team in the season with both teams? I actually believe that it is.
That's fair, but I still don't like the use of the term resilient.
Why?
I've never felt
what
like...
What do you want? I mean, give me a synonym.
Resilience's not it.
They had 9 injuries.
But every team is injured. Every team is injured. I'm not going to sit here and play the injury game. And by the way, they got these guys back. I mean... So, and then say, well, you know what, the Yankees, what have they overcome? Okay, well, the closer role, well, whose fault is that? They didn't lose Clay Holmes due to injury. They lost Clay Holmes because he wasn't doing his job.
And they found an answer,
okay,
which is
well,
resilience.
That's different. Having
well,
answers,
that's resilient. That's adaptability.
I don't know if it's resilient.
Maybe it's not the right word.
What have they been down in a series until the World Series?
Did you think the judge was going to spin that around on Class A and hit that home run? I mean,
no,
he's the best closer in baseball.
No, I didn't.
I mean,
did
that's
not
pretty
that
resilient.
And they lost the game.
I understand that, but you think did they win the series?
But they damaged the psyche of
the best closer in baseball, which obviously led to them eventually winning
resiliency?
The series. It's toughness. Yeah,
they won game one against Kansas City.
Yep.
They won game one against Cleveland and game two. Like, they've never been trailing in a series. So, like, I could give you examples. They've never had their playoffs on the line, period, throughout the entire year.
Like, well, I'm not disputing that.
No, that's what I'm so I just don't understand where, like, well, this has been a resilient group. Okay, you want to point out the injuries? Sure. I mean, they've overcome injuries. You want to point out the closer stuff? I think that's an important piece. Yeah, they've overcome, because there was a point where it looked like they weren't going to have a closer. Who was their closer? They didn't have one.
Mm.
So they've overcome that. I mean, I just wouldn't say that this 2024 Yankee team has been resilient.
So,
and that's reason to believe that they could come back in the series. I think they could come back for other reasons.
I don't think that they would necessarily win a 4 straight.
Yeah.
And
well,
by the way, as much
either.
As I'm touting their resilience, right. I'm not sitting here saying that it's really applied to the series. You got to remember, when you posed the question or the thought before, you said this season. So I was reacting to the macro, like the big snapshot, which is why I went back to Garrett Cole and Clark Schmidt and all the injuries. I just kind of pieced it up until now. Not to mention Nestor Cortez. I mean, they had a lot of things go wrong.
Right.
Have they had... Now, if you would have framed it, have they shown real resilience within these playoff series? My answer would have been different.
You think they've been a resilient team?
The playoffs? No, not all year.
Even all year.
I do. We just look at the word differently. I do.
I guess.
And I gave you 9 reasons why.
Right, I guess. But ultimately, their record from June on was under 500. So where's the resiliency in that?
Oh, I could say that if they weren't as resilient as they were, they could have been 15 or 20 games under 500.
Yeah.
Like, again, resilience doesn't just mean that you win an inordinate amount. Like, there's something to be said. Like, I don't even know what NFL team it would be, but there's an NFL team out there right now who's got an under 500 record. Maybe I'll look for one during the break, that has been fairly resilient, whether they've had a lot of injuries or some bad circumstances, and their season could be a lot worse if they weren't so resilient. Now, it doesn't mean that they're 6-2 or 5-3, whatever, but they're hanging around because of their resilience.
Yeah, I guess
different levels and degrees of resilience.
I would just say that, I mean, the one clear word to me that would define the Mets this year is resiliency. And with the Yankees, I just don't see it. I mean, yes.
What word would you use to describe the Yankees?
Average?
You can't go where. They're the best record in the American League.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Give me a good word.
Taking advantage of a lesser
so opportunistic. You want to go with that? Opportunistic? I mean, the circumstances were such and they did well. Then you find it opportunistic.
Star laden?
Top heavy?
Not well balanced?
Boy, you're reaching for the negatives here, buddy.
Underachieving.
I mean, they're in a World Series, man.
Understood. They were built to win it. I mean, they have superstars. I mean,
not.
They were built to win it. Do you think the Yankees have achieved all their goals this year? Like, they're supposed to win the World Series.
Season's not over. No, they have not. And they have not won a game yet. So the answer is definitely no.
Okay, but if you obviously you're talking to a guy who has been saying consistently since the middle of the year, let's say June on, that I don't think the Yankees are very good. And then when they get to the postseason, you know, they won the division. Give them credit for that because, you know, I didn't think that that was going to be the case all year long.
Yeah.
I think the Orioles fell off the face of the earth and were just a lot worse than the Yankees. And they've earned it. They were better than the Orioles. But I also then thought, okay, well, if I am watching with my own eyes and don't believe that this team is very good, then at some point in the postseason, they're going to get caught. And it's also because their success is a circumstance of the rest of the American League not being very good, whether that's the Orioles, whether it's the Royals, whether it's the Guardians.
Yeah.
And then consistent to that, I said that it's a significant step up in class. And now here we are through three games. And while it may not be that great a disparity or as bad as I thought, they're still down 0-3. So I just don't look at them as, I wouldn't say resilient is a word that I would use to describe the Yanks. So I mean, they're good.
I got you. And by the way, it's not a vintage Yankee team, and I didn't bring the Mets into it. What were the scores? 8-0, 9-1? Like, let's say the Yankees win one of these games here. Let's say they win tonight,
yeah,
and then they lose game five. I mean, you know, if the Mets were resilient, and again, I'm going to give you that because I think that they were, but then to what depth were they resilient when they got steamrolled by a team by aggregately 27-4? I mean,
well, here's how they're resilient.
How resilient are you? Get your face kicked in three times.
Here's how. They lost game one. They won game two.
Okay.
They were down 3-1. They won game five.
Yeah, but what were the scores that they... Okay,
I don't care. I mean, the Dodgers were a better team. Like, you tip your cap. But we knew that with the disparity between the two teams. A lot of people were saying the Yankees were going to win this World Series and that they were better than the Dodgers. And yet they haven't won a game yet. I'm just, hey, let's see them come back. Let's see them show some. I thought it was over the top with, oh, this team has been resilient.
But where have you even heard that from?
I heard it on the radio. I've heard it. I've seen it in a couple of places more than
resilient.
Just one.
I mean, I don't reach for the word. I'll defend it. Not to the end of the world because they're down 3-0.
And maybe even they said it on the broadcast last night. I put it this way. I've heard it enough to where I made a note of it. I'm like, what is everybody talking about? Am I missing something with this group? I think you bring up some good points. Yeah, overcoming injury.
A lot of injuries.
I mean, if the Yankees really dealt with difficult conditions all year long,
It depends what you place emphasis on. And when you want a healthy roster for 162, something they didn't have, some people could say that they're resilient. And listen, opportunistic in a weak American League.
Yeah.
Maybe a hybrid. Maybe they're half resilient and half opportunistic. Either way, they're in the World Series. And either way, they're getting abused so far. Yeah. Haven't won a game yet. And if they get swept, it's unacceptable. Piece it together tonight, and then we can continue the conversation tomorrow.
And we're going to talk to the manager's brother when we come back. Brett Boone will be on the line here. Looking forward to seeing what he has to say today on BT and Sal.
We got a couple tough ones for him. We got to. I mean, let's be. You think he's going to be honest
I do. I do.
Right.
I think he's going to be fair.
I do too.
We are joined by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brett is also the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in Major League Baseball and around sports every week. Brett, not ideal circumstances for your brother's team, down 0-3 here. Let's start with game one, because that was the one where a lot of people were questioning Aaron's moves in that game. What did you think of how your brother managed that game one?
Game one, all right. So I knew as soon as Nestor came out of the pen, I was a little surprised because I didn't know when he was going to make his. I knew they had him on the roster for that long situation, that may be a time where you can extend the outing. He's a starting pitcher, so he'd go 2-3 innings. So I knew it was going to be a swing roll, depending on how the series was going. But I thought, oh, this is an interesting move. You know, you got Ohtani coming up. You might have to face Betts if the situation, you know, the way the situation played out, there was a base open. So, yeah, you got the lefty out there. You walk Betts, and you still got to deal with a Freddie Freeman. So I thought at first, you know, with the job that Hill had done in the postseason, I figured, what, they would go to Hill. They go to Nestor. And then I started walking through it going, why is he going to Nestor? Okay. He must and his staff must think they like their chances better with Nestor, not just the Ohtani, but if the Betts things come up. If they like the matchup with Nestor and Betts and then go to Freeman, it's still a lefty on lefty. And I knew whatever happened. You know, so he gets Ohtani out with the first pitch. I said, well, all right, there you go. They walk Betts like I thought, and then Freddie Freeman, you know, he hits the home run. And first thing I thought is as a hitter. Well, and I'm interested to see what Freddie's response was. It's exactly what I thought. He said, as soon as I saw him put him on, I thought, all right, I don't want to chase Nestor's cutter away. So I'm going to keep my eyes off the outside corner. I'm going to look hard in. Well, you look hard in. Nestor didn't make, it wasn't a cookie. It was kind of on the corner.
Mm.
One of the best players in the world, one of the best hitters in the world, that's where Freddie Freeman is, looking for a pitch. Sometimes that happens. But I knew you were going to hear. Me, personally, if I've got to be honest, if I'm managing that situation, but I'm not on the ground, I'm not watching what they're watching.
Yeah.
I go with the safe guy. I go with Hill to try to get Ohtani out. That's my first thought, is I got to get Ohtani out here.
Yes.
But they had a different plan. And it's one of those things where it's not, I don't think Aaron Boone woke up in that inning and said, Nestor, give me Nestor. I think that was an approach that they're watching Nestor, they're watching his sides, they're watching his bullpen, he's getting feedback from his staff, from his bench coach, from his pitching coach, from his bullpen coach. And I think that's how the decision was made. Me, personally, I'm going to go with Hill, but he went with Nestor, and I knew the plan. It was that long term. It wasn't just Ohtani. It was the matchup he liked, Nestor versus Betts, which was the next hitter.
What about, Brett, just to finish this up, bringing Weaver back out for the third inning of work?
Yeah, and I think about that a lot, too. You think of closers, think of Class A. Mariano's the ultimate, but he did it his whole career. He was a two-inning guy. They did that with Class A. They tried to overuse him when he's not used to doing it. He didn't do that all season. And then the postseason, they went to Class A every time. Class A had the worst, you know, probably the best closer in the game. Had a real bad postseason because of that. That was my first thought, is Weaver. Oh, you don't want to overextend him. I think he's thrown to four batters. But then I'm thinking, wait a minute, Weaver hasn't been a closer until recently. He's used to doing a bigger, you know, side bulk of work. And I think that's something, if Aaron could have back, he would have sent Weaver out again.
Okay, so we're pretty much on the same page with a few things we did not agree with there. But now I'm going to get to what really bothered me. And it's probably a little less about your brother and more on the ace. Hey, Gerrit Cole. Sure. Tell your brother to stay in the dugout. 88 pitches. I mean, how in the world does he let himself get pulled from that game, Brett?
I you know what I think? And I try to really hold back on this because we're in a different time. We're in a different culture. And my day, it's like if I've got a Cole, I'm expecting, all right, going into this series, my big boy needs to be thinking game one, game four, and game seven. Mm. That's how we thought back then. I understand. It's different now. I get it. Aaron came out of the dugout, and I looked at him, and I thought, he's not making a pitching change, but he always makes pitching changes when he comes out.
Correct.
But if not,
correct,
he's sending his pitching coach. When Aaron came out of the dugout, it was a different look. I said, he's going out there to get the temperature right now.
Okay.
He would have normally, if he was making a pitching change, he'd have made the change halfway out to the mound. But it's Gerrit Cole, and I'm thinking, he's going to, all right, I like this. Because this is how we used to make, I like it. I think in big moments, you've got to look your big boy in the eye, and whatever that reaction is, then you make a decision. There are certain tells that we give one another. If I ask Gerrit Cole a question and he gives me a certain answer, I know I'm keeping him in. And if he gives me another answer, I know it's time to go. So I knew that was the conversation going out there. It was the Grady Little conversation with Pedro Martinez in 03.
Yep.
And you went out there, and then all of a sudden, I think they were going to, Gerrit, how you doing? Boo, 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 boo. Oh, I'm fine. Booney, this is my game. And I thought he was going to leave. And all of a sudden, there's a pitching change being made. I'm like, Aaron didn't like something that was said in that conversation. It was 85 pitches, whatever it was.
88.
Mm.
And now, you know, you think, is he 100% healthy? He's had issues this year, a lot of time on the IL. Is that a factor? I don't know. Once again, I am not privy to that information. I'm not on the ground. I don't know what the ins and outs of Gerrit Cole on the daily basis. But that bothered me a little bit because it's like This is the World Series, man. We got all winter to get healthy.
Yeah.
I've got to do everything I can to be in there. So he comes out, and then, you know, I look today, and I'm holding out hope, and I'm thinking, is Cole going to take the ball? You know, did he send Aaron a text last night saying, Skip, I got the ball tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
And I still look. As of now, it's healed.
Yeah.
And that's the way it was scheduled, and I get it. You're down three. You still got to win four. So, you know, is this the right time to do it? I don't know. It's just a different culture, and it's a different time, and guys, just it's not like it used to be.
No, but it shouldn't be that. No, I agree. We're on the same page. Brett Boone with his BT and Sal on the Fan. It's a different culture, but that's more acceptable in April or May or June, July. Right. Not in October, Game 1, World Series. Yeah, stop, Yankees, Dodgers. Now, if it was 105, 88 pitches. Now, I got news for you, right, Brett. I actually, even though he gave up the grand slam, I exonerate Cortez. I don't necessarily think he should have been in that position, but at least that guy has said, he's like, man, my arm might explode, but it's the World Series, and if it explodes and I'm okay with that, all right, he got hit. He gave up a bomb to a great hitter. I can live with that, but to look your brother, the manager, in the eyes, right, and not demand that he stays in that game,
right,
I don't know if Yankee fans can ever forgive him. I don't know if I'll ever forgive him for that. That was weak.
Well, I can't sit here and defend Gerrit Cole on that. I don't know Gerrit. I know he's a great pitcher. I know he's a Cy Young Award winner. But I'm with you.
Huh?
It's all hands on deck in this postseason. And I hate to bang the drum about yesteryear, but let's just go back a few years to a Madison Bumgarner.
No.
Is he saying that? Give me the ball, Skip. You give me a game one, game four, game seven. John Smoltz, give it to me. 1-4-7. Clement, name them down the line.
Schilling.
Randy Johnson, Schilling. The reason they won the 0-1, the reason they won in 0-1 and they beat the Yankees was that they had Schilling and John, and they're going whenever you give me the ball. Bumgarner, what he did is unbelievable. It's never been matched. But I don't expect everybody to be Bumgarner.
Yeah.
And going on one day's rest, 2 days rest. I don't expect that. Don't kill yourself. I don't want long-term injury here. But, man, it's a World Series. If we can't get up for this, I was really expecting kind of, I want to hear Cole say, and that doesn't matter. If you're in a different situation right here, if you're up 3-0, of course you don't have to go on game four. But the circumstances dictate. In the postseason, I remember talking to Bruce Bochy, and he said, Booney, over the years I've learned, you know, I lost with the Padres in my first, and he won three before last year. Now he's got four. He won three with the San Francisco Giants. He goes, as time went on, I realized there's different when you get to the postseason, when you get to the World Series. You got to manage with absolute now. You manage different than you do in the regular season. I believe that. And I've been waiting this whole series. Like, I want to hear from Cole. I want to hear from Cole to say, Aaron, give me the ball. Doesn't mean Aaron gives him the ball, but just tell me that you want it. And you want it every game that you possibly can. And to see that at this situation, no, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little disappointed in that.
BT and Sal on the Fan with Brett Boone. Insider calls are brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. For me, Brett, the key in this series, I thought the Dodgers were the better team going in. I'm shocked that we haven't seen more offense from both sides, but more specifically, the Yankees. Is that a credit to the Dodger pitching, or is just the Yankee offense not doing what it's supposed to be doing?
Well, I saw the Dodger pitching, and I saw the Mets series. And, you know, they've had four shutouts in the postseason, almost had five last night if Verdugo doesn't hit that homer. But I knew they were good. I knew they were on kind of a roll coming into this World Series, but I didn't expect. The one thing, you know, we talked last week, the one thing I thought the Yankees had an advantage was the starting pitch. Mm. Cole, Rodon, and Schmidt. I thought, you know, after Flaherty, other than the first game was unbelievable. Flaherty, what he did, I did not expect that. His velocity was up. His sliders were twice as sharp as they were the previous. I watched that previous outing where he got smoked, and he had nothing. I was surprised Roberts was starting him game one. I said, with what you just saw, you're going to start Flaherty in game one? He was brilliant. Yamamoto, same thing. I didn't know what you're getting with Yamamoto. Was he getting the San Diego Padre clinch game where Yamamoto was phenomenal? Well, you got that in game two. And then Buehler, who hasn't gone long and hasn't been stretched out and hasn't been the Buehler of 2-3 years ago, his last two outings, he's been money. I mean, he went four, four inning scoreless, and last night he pitched great. He pitched like the Walker Buehler role. I'm very surprised by that. And on the other side, you know, the starting pitch for the Yankees has been real mediocre, and I thought that was the one place they had an advantage. I thought the Dodgers lineup was longer. You know, going down to Kike Hernandez and the way Edmund's swinging the bat, I thought it was a longer lineup.
Yeah.
You know, pound for pound, the stars are the stars. Whoever hits, you know, hits. But I thought that was lined right. I thought the one advantage that Yankee team had was Cole at the top of the rotation. They didn't have anybody to match Cole. Well, they've proven in the first three games they do have someone to match Cole. And they've stepped up, and the Yankees haven't. They haven't, you know, the Aaron Judge thing. He's going to hear about this forever, but the way he's handled it, I'm pretty impressed. I mean, yeah, that's a pro right there. The way he steps to the mic and isn't moping around, and he's basically saying, I stink and I need to get it done. You know, I'm very impressed by that. Baseball is so hard, and it's not a choke factor. Aaron Judge is the best player in the world. He'll probably be the best player in the world next year. But just isn't going for him right now, and you can feel it. He's in between everything. He's behind the heater. He's missing sliders that he doesn't normally miss. Yesterday, he got a little closer.
Yeah.
Didn't quite square to hit it on the end of the bat.
End of the bat,
you can see
yeah.
that he's really feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen great, great players on that stage. It's not that they choke. It's just not clicking at the wrong time. And Aaron Judge is going through that. I watched Bonds do it for years.
Oh, God, yeah.
You couldn't get him out finally, you know. But it's rough. It's rough watching. And it's just that Dodger team is so up, and they're getting big hits from everybody throughout the line. It's the Freddie Freeman, obviously, with the big home runs. The Oscar Hernandez had a huge home run. But it's the guys at the bottom of the lineup. It's Edmund, and it's Kike Hernandez getting big hits in this postseason, and they keep doing it. You never know where it's going to come from.
Hey, by the way, has your brother considered dropping Judge? And if not, should he in the order?
The only thing, I don't know that I drop him. I've been thinking about this a lot. You know, you're still, if it's anyone lesser than an Aaron Judge, of course you mess with it. But it's Aaron Judge. It's the MVP. The only thing I consider, because I don't think it would affect Soto, is to switch them and put Soto behind Judge, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Soto would handle it no matter what. Soto seems to be he's in that zone where Soto's still dangerous every single at bat. I don't think that would affect. So I think that's what you do with big stars, with your best players. Sometimes you've gone all year one way. You don't want to mess with your big boys because that's where the bread and butter is. But at this stage, if I were to do it, no, I wouldn't drop him down and put Stanton up higher. But if you're going to flip anything in that lineup, I might tinker with flipping Judge and Soto in the 2-3 hole.
Yeah, and you're not going to pull a Torrey and put A-Rod in the 8-hole, which, by the way, no means am I saying that he should do. But, yeah, I mean, maybe a little bit of a different spot, but there's just too many empty at-bats here. And, you know, I don't know, and you could tell me, but I feel like young Brett Boone had a very similar body type to Volpe in terms of height and weight. Maybe I'm off on that.
Mm-hmm.
His approach is just, it's not good. And what I fear is that it's never going to be good because he can't lay off the slop outside. He can't handle the cheese at his chest. Like, what kind of hitter? I don't mean now, but, like, are you sure that Volpe's going to be a star? Because he doesn't look like one at all.
I've never been one to say he's going to be a star.
Okay.
I look at him, that's a big leaguer. That's an everyday big leaguer,
mm-hmm.
without a doubt. But whether I ever put that star, you know, there's a lot with a young player like that, and especially in New York, especially playing shortstop, you know, there's a lot to live up to there. And everybody kind of put that on him. Like he's the next, you know, he's the next Jeter. Well, that's pretty big shoes. It's really not fair. And he's kind of grown up with that knowing, you know, growing up Jeter's his idol. And now all of a sudden one day I'm playing shortstop at Yankee Stadium. That's pretty awesome. He's still a young player. He's a really good player. But to say I see this long-term, big-time star in Volpe, I'd be lying if I say I did. You know, I see a good player.
Mm-hmm.
If one day he – we're all different. You know, we're all different in our journey. You never know when it clicks. Sometimes it never clicks for anybody, and they're just a nice player their whole career. Sometimes it clicks, and you go to the next level. But everybody's different. But if I were to sit here and say, oh, yeah, you just hang in there with Volpe. One day he's going to be that captain and that star.
Yeah.
I'd be lying. I think he's a good player.
Yeah, no.
And we'll future holds.
I appreciate the honesty. Like, if you were the Yankees hitting coach and you had him, you know, February, it's Tampa, you're doing some stuff over the winter, and, you know, would you, because this is where I'm torn with Volpe. I think he can hit 25 or 30 if he swings from his heels and hits 210 like he did a year ago. I don't think he'll ever hit 290. I don't really see that. But do you think the more prudent path from the Yankees organizational perspective to help him become whatever he can become is, hey, sacrifice batting average for power or the other way?
Well, I think that's the absolute wrong approach, and I think that's a lot that's wrong with the game today. We put so much emphasis on home runs and on base percentage. First of all, you're not born, you don't learn how to walk. You walk a certain amount of times. You know, Vladimir Guerrero, you walk 15, 20 times a year, you're a Hall of Famer. Yes, if you really work on it, you might walk 50 times a year, but you're never going to be a 120-walk Juan Soto guy if you're Vladimir Guerrero. It doesn't happen, and it takes away from who you are. That being said, everybody today, the emphasis is on what? Especially these young kids coming up. Oh, we got to hit home runs. No. You got to have good at bats, and then home runs come whatever your skill set is. You think homer first, batting average second, I'll show you a bad hitter.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. I think we're missing out on a lot of young, great players because they're thought, no, I got to hit the ball over the wall. Well, maybe your skill set doesn't call for that. Everybody's not made to hit home runs. You know, mm-hmm. I've seen some of the biggest, strongest guys in the world, and they just don't have that it factor, the power factor. That's something you're born with. And to think everybody's got to be a home run hitter, well, the Omar Vizquel's of the world, you're not going to see him anymore. Omar Vizquel was a hell of a player. You put him in the two-hole, he was a great player. For me, Hall of Fame player. Obviously, what he did on defense, this guy got 2,900 hits. Beginning of his career, he's a light-hitting shortstop. He became a force in the two-hole. You're going to miss out on players like that because the emphasis is so much on hit the ball over the wall, and everybody's not built to hit the ball over the wall. Good at-bats result in maximizing your potential to hit the ball over the wall, not hitting the ball over the wall. I'll show you a 180 hitter that's struggling to hit 12, 14 home runs if it's not your skill set. And I think that's what we're doing in the game today. Is a detriment to the game.
And that's something that I think the Yankees are lacking, Brett. You try to come up with, okay, well, they have all the star power in the world. They have the ace. They have a good closer now with Weaver, Soto, Judge, Stanton, Glaber. What's missing with this team? For me, it's that they don't do the little things like Glaber, a knucklehead play in game one at second base, something that is sure how to drive you nuts as a former big league second baseman. But what do you think is missing with this Yankees team to why they can't get to that next level and be world champions consistently?
Well, I think with this particular group, in the core group I'm talking about, over the last 4 or 5 years, that where I've been paying a little more close attention is the health issue. I mean, it seems like every year one of the big boys is down for a certain, you know, a good amount. Now, I think the culture nowadays is there's a lot more injuries than there used to be. You know, they're a lot more cautious with the finances in the game. They're more apt to say, oh no, we're gonna. We're going to side with caution here versus, hey, let's play through this little injury.
Yeah, but they're healthy now, Brett. I mean, healthy. You got John Carlos.
They're healthy now. I just think, right, they're healthy now. I think they're the best. I think they proved over 162 games that they were the best team in the American League.
Yeah.
And we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, and that's the World Series. I remember 1999, I was sitting here after Game 3 against your Yankees. With a great Atlanta Braves team. Man, we were good. We had a great lineup. We had a great pitching staff. We had a great bullpen. We're down 3-0 right now looking at each other going, what's going on? Well, maybe the Yankees are better than us right now. They're just better than us. This is a World Series. We're a great team, but I know the feeling. And it was flat, and it was just kind of, man, we're not playing like we've played all year for whatever reason. And it just, there's no rhyme or reason to it. We're still a great team. But the World Series is a World Series, and you talk about this new format and the 12 teams that get in. Well, it's more like a March Madness, not like the postseason anymore.
That's true.
But I'll tell you what, I saw that Dodger team, you know, last year, Arizona and Texas Rangers. If you said you saw that matchup coming, you're not being honest. But they caught lightning in a bottle. I think that's what's happened with this Dodger team. They just kind of grew. I thought the Dodgers were done with the San Diego Padres. I thought the San Diego Padres were a better team, top to bottom. They had them down 2-1. Dodgers found a way to come back and win. And ever since they came back and made it 2-2 and then won that final game, Dodgers have been a different team. and they've been rallying, and everybody's pulling on the same end of the rope, and they're getting hits from guys you never expected to get hits. And I'm not talking about hits. I'm talking about big hits. And I've seen that kind of growing on the National League side, and they brought it into this World Series, and they haven't missed a beat. They got 5 days. Everybody was worried about Freeman. He was missing time with his foot. I said, this is going to get Freddie Freeman healthy, this five-day off period where they can do treatment and get him ready. Freddie, yesterday I saw him in the post game. They said, how's your ankle? He goes, I'll tell you what, that 5 days that I had to rest and to do, you know, I could get my foot back to a point where I could work on my swing. And he said, the ankle isn't a problem anymore. Yeah. That was huge.
Until he fouled one off his foot last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He did. But that was huge for that team. Yeah. Their big boy who's kind of been the MVP of this World Series so far. So I think that Dodgers caught it mid postseason, and man, they haven't lost it. And the Yankees have just kind of been playing really good to get to where they are. And now, you know, all of a sudden, I don't know, Flaherty pitching like that, Yamamoto, Buehler. Sometimes you see he didn't hit, but then sometimes I look on the other side and go, these guys pitch pretty good.
Yeah,
first three starters pitch pretty good.
Well, I understand all that, and it's a crapshoot in the postseason to a certain extent, and the Dodgers are absolutely loaded. But, Brett, this Yankee team all year long, I mean, they were a team that was around 500 from June on, and they just haven't been crisp doing the little things. Again, I mentioned the play with Gleyber Torres at second base in game one, which cost them, or Giancarlo Stanton, who can't score. Like, this is the big leagues. It's the World Series. There's a base hit. Your team's struggling, and he can't score from second because of the player that he is. Don't those little things at some point just add up? The Dodgers take the extra bases. They're moving runners over. They're getting guys in, and it's added up to three wins in a row here.
Yeah, and I think with the Stanton situation, you know what you get in Stanton. You know that's how he's been running all year. You know, and it doesn't help that he didn't get a good jump on the base hit to left. Everybody's talking, well, I would have held him. I said, right now you would have held him. I got to take a chance. I don't think that was bad sending him right there. It was a bang bang play at the plate. But in normal circumstances, where let's push it to the net. If you're the Dodgers, you hold them right there because you know you're clicking and anybody can get a hit. Yankees yesterday, it's like, we got to create something. If there's one out, of course, you hold them there. Mm-hmm. But if there's two outs, it's like, I got to push the envelope because I might not get another chance to score. And we got to score here. So I didn't have a problem with that. Stanton and his running, I don't know. If that was something that all of a sudden I saw him trouncing around third and going, wow, I haven't seen that. Well, I've seen that all year. That doesn't surprise me.
That's true.
You've decided that Stanton is what he is, and we're going to roll with it, and he's been a huge part of this postseason so far. But by him doing what he's done and being in the middle of that lineup every day, you know what you got to give a little bit, and that's when he gets on the bases. He's a station-to-station guy.
Brett, we're late, so the 20, 30 seconds obviously touched on maybe what you would do, Soto 2, probably Soto 3, Judge 2. Any other tweaks? I mean, you got to get Austin Wells back in there, I guess. But if you're writing out the lineup card tonight, what are you doing?
I think you got to do that. You still got to defend. Verdugo hits the home run. You know, it's an after-the-fact home run, but it is something.
Mm-hmm.
Verdugo goes to bed tonight going, yes, I can get a hit. That's something mentally. This game is all mental, so I kind of keep it the same. I don't try to reinvent the wheel right here. Maybe the flip-flop at the top, which I doubt I'm going to see, but everything else, you got to go with what got you to the dance, and yeah, you're going to see Wells back in there. Maybe he can pop one from the left side, but it's kind of all hands on deck, and I'll tell you, as a player, and I know we're running too late, but as a player, even down, you're down 3-0. These guys aren't coming to the ballpark today saying it's over. They're not saying it's over. We're the most naive people in the world. And when I'm sitting there as an analyst going, you guys are in big trouble. It's probably over. But as a player, it's never over. You're coming to the ballpark today. They're going to be at the yard today, not thinking it's over. They think we got to win today to get to tomorrow. And that's all they're thinking about. So players are different. They are resilient in the fact, and like I said, to a fault, we're really naive because we never think it's over. And I don't think these guys think it's over going in today. I definitely think Heal doesn't, and Heal has the ability. He throws strikes. He has dominant stuff.
He does.
We'll see what the kid has.
Yeah, a bullpen game, and then you got Flaherty for a second time facing Cole. You never know.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you, you win tonight, you get a little like, hey, we can beat Flaherty. Yeah, he was great last time. Can he repeat that? I don't think he can.
And by the way, tell your brother to dust off Dominguez at some point, can you? And let him know he's still on the roster, Brett, huh?
Is Roman on the roster? I've been asking. Where's Roman?
That's great.
Thank you, Brent. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, buddy.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That was Odyssey MLB. Man. I love him. That was Odyssey MLB Insider. Brent Boone, Insider Calls, presented by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. This segment was sponsored by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown.
We're going to get back to these calls. Yankee fans, let's go. It's not over yet. 888-808-1019. If you're going to the yard tonight, let's get that energy popping. Let's go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.